Bill relaxed his grip and I looked around the room. The white plantation shutters were closed and the light was low, just a flicker from two candles Bill had lit to set the mood, but my eyes were adjusting. It was a bedroom outfitted in the finest Tommy Bahama furnishings, a four-poster bed with pineapple carvings on the post, flanked by two matching bedside tables, on which a stack of wood-carved baby sea turtles provided the base for the unlit lamps. An imposing chest of drawers topped with an equally impressive mirror took up most of the deep sage wall to my left. The California king bed, covered in a muted tropical bedspread, was buttressed at the end by a low-back brown leather love seat. The room was masculine in style and immaculate in presentation. "Whose room is this?" I asked, already knowing the answer, even though there was nothing personal in the room to indicate it. "Mine." "Is it always this neat?" "It is when Mom's having a party. Don't look in the closet, though." He smiled and reached for my hand, and for a moment he looked like a timid teenager hoping to get his banana peeled for the first time while his parents were out of town. I moved closer, gazed up at him, and slowly ran my right hand down his chest past his stomach, then gently pressed the heel of my hand against his zipper, reaching lower with my fingertips. Startled, he drew in a breath and snapped his legs together. He put his hands on my shoulders and pulled me in for a romantic kiss, but I turned my head away. Kissing wasn't part of the very well-choreographed performance I had so meticulously planned during my beach walk. Instead, I began unbuttoning and unzipping his pants. I tried to pull them down along with his boxers, but he was fighting me, trying to pull them back up. I yanked them down with one hand and thrust him backwards on the love seat with the other. "That bathroom door is locked, right?" I asked, angling my head towards it. Bill squeaked yes like a scared kitten. I dropped to my knees and wedged myself between his legs. His six-shooter was as limp as a cooked spaghetti noodle. If I could have flung it across the room and hit the wall, it would have stuck. I breathed along his length, closer and closer, until the tip of my tongue lightly grazed it. He startled again, but I continued the kinetics, advancing with more and more contact until I was gliding along him from stem to stern, drawing him into my mouth and nursing him hard for a few seconds, then releasing with a popping sound that made him jump as if a firecracker had gone off under his feet. "Do you like this?" I asked, knowing that under normal circumstances this was just about the stupidest question anyone could ask a man. But here in his childhood bedroom, in his mother's house, with an increasing number of guests congregating below us, the circumstances were anything but normal. "Yes," Bill answered hoarsely, and then clearing his throat, it feels great." He grew with my persistence, his anxious expression belied by his budding bagpipe. He watched zombie-like as I dribbled a 4-inch stream of saliva onto the head of his hammer. Then he moaned an, "Oh my God," as I went to work on him, stroking, licking, nipping, flicking. At that moment, I had complete power over Bill. I could have asked him to buy me a house, and he would have responded, "Two-story or ranch?" I stood abruptly, and Bill lurched backwards in angst, his hands slapping wide against the cool leather seat, his legs firing out straight and landing akimbo. I gently kissed the top of his smooth head, then put him on notice. "Better relax, Bill. I'm just getting started." I turned my back to him, then moved my legs to the outside of his, dragging the dress up over my hips, exposing the fuchsia lace crotchless panties that I knew he wasn't surprised to see. Not after the carriage house tease. As I guided him through the opening, I heard him exhale the words, "Oh, Jesus." Bill unwound and began taking initiative as I rode him reverse cowgirl, the electric caress of his left hand gliding up the inside of my bare thigh, his other hand climbing my back beneath the flexible fabric of the dress, finding the bra's double hook and eye closure, and in one swift sweep of his nimble fingers, it was open. I reclined against him and reached overhead for the back of the couch, and he nipped at my neck, his hand moving around to my breast, kneading it and rolling the nipple between his fingers, his other hand inching under the lace panties, finding my fancy bit and coaxing it to a stony bloom. Quiver. We rocked in erotic tempo and I closed my eyes and let him take me to the brink of deliverance, but just. I stood and turned to face him, his anxiety gone, the fever of desire reddening him. He grabbed my leg and my arm and pulled me to him, desperate to reunite. I stared into his aqua eyes as I inched myself down onto him. "You fill me so perfectly," I said longingly. It had a ring of commitment to it, which was unintentional. But Bill heard what he wanted to hear. "We're a perfect fit, Sally," he responded, pulling me by the back of my neck to him for what we knew would be the last kiss before the wham. It was soft and familiar at first, then increasingly open and wet, then frantic with anticipation. I fell forward against his heaving chest, bracing my left arm against the back of the love seat, pressing my glistening cleavage against his chin. Escorted by his hot breath, the swirl of his tongue skated under the neckline of my dress. When he discovered my puckered nipple and sucked it forcefully into his mouth, thunder rumbled deep into me, and the lightning that followed struck its target. Crack! The starting pistol went off in my head, and with it, the dash to climax. I ground against him with determined fury, leaving him to manage his own pleasure. "Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah," I chanted to the rhythm of my rocking, lost in my own objective, but still vaguely aware of Bill's warm hand melting down my backside and sneaking beneath the lacy elastic. When he found my starfruit and gently circled its circumference, I arched and gasped. Taking that as a yes, Bill pulsed the soft pad of his middle finger against the back door, testing the lock, while he bucked up against me like an untamed bronco. I was aware of the frenzied moans and groans of my own voice. Louder they came, like a freight train barreling towards me, prompting Bill to put his hand over my mouth in an attempt to stifle the sound. When the tip of his finger penetrated the resistive portal, I short-circuited. I collapsed on him, covered in the sweat of total fuck euphoria, but he was still moving beneath me, cooing in my ear, and I realized I had left him behind. I lifted off of him and crumpled to my knees, weak but determined to complete my mission. He ran his fingertips along my scalp, and I could feel his heartbeat banging through them. When I once again took his scarlet shapeshifter into my mouth, he knotted my damp curls in his hands and groaned with gratification. Almost immediately, the corner of my eye caught the green digital display on Bill's clock radio, and I alarmed. Becoming more determined in my methods, I intensified my grip on him and accelerated the action, my lips moving in meter with my stroke, my left hand cupping his boys and jostling them gently between my fingers. Bill's hands were white-knuckling the rolled ends of the love seat, his gaze meeting my own, his crystal blue eyes narrowing, darkening, his face contorted in delirium as the storm brewing deep in his loins threatened to overtake him. I could taste the approaching tsunami. "It's been so long since it was this good," he moaned, and his hips slid forward and his head fell back. When I worked my fingers behind his berries, pressing up into that special stretch of skin, stimulating his prostate, he lost it. "Oh, God, Sally, I'm going to... It was my best effort, inducing the agonizing ecstasy I intended, as well as a welcome relief that I could still command it. I didn't shush his uncontrolled enthusiasm, but if there was someone in that bathroom, they were getting an earful. I loosened my grip on him, and he faded back into the love seat, his head swinging slowly from side to side until it decelerated to stillness. He was mumbling some gibberish, but I thought I heard the words heart attack. I squeezed his wrist, thankfully finding a pulse. "Bill," I said, shaking him a little, "we've got to get back to the party." I knocked once on the bathroom door and waited. No one answered, so I went in and locked the door facing the hall. I ran the tap. "Bill," I whispered loudly at him again, "get up. We have to go back." He appeared disoriented, as if he had awoken from a long dream. He was standing now, stumbling, trying to do up his pants. "How long have we been here?" "A long time," I whisper yelled, unable to do the math. I cleaned myself up, smoothed my clothing, and took measure of myself in the mirror. I had that glowy, dreamy-eyed, tousled, just bonked look. Pretty attractive, really. But if we returned to the party together, it would be patently obvious that Bill had been giving me more than just a tour of the house. When I returned to the bedroom to instruct him to give me a 5-minute head start, I found him on the bed, his hands folded neatly on his stomach, his feet crossed at the ankles, a gentle snore rumbling in his throat.